Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol Jesus 911, one-man car. Kyle and Dan are out doing some apostolic work. My name is Jesse Romero, and Eddie Chavez is healing from a surgery. He had a back surgery, and he's been recuperating for weeks, so just hopefully he'll be back. Just keep him in your prayers, thoughts and prayers. My name is Jesse Romero. This is UFC, Ultimate Faithful Catholics. This is part of the MMA, Mother Mary's Army, and this is where we talk on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays about aspects of spiritual warfare as it relates to the Catholic faith. I'm going to broach a topic today that's rather interesting. I'm going to ask the question, is Judas Iscariot in hell? That's the question I'm asking. Is Judas Iscariot in hell? We're going to look at what the Bible says. We're going to look at what sacred tradition says. And as they say, I'll report and you decide. Now, obviously, there's no, the magisterium of the church has never decreed something like Judas Iscariot is definitively in hell. Because that's not the church's job to decree who's in hell. The church's job is to decree who's saved. And the church gives us warnings about how people go to hell. It's called dying in unrepentant mortal sin. But it's not the church's job to tell us who's there or who's not there. The word hell is mentioned 23 times in the New Testament alone. And our Lord Jesus Christ spoke of hell many times. When our Lord Jesus Christ says that he has the keys of hell in Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, the average person reading the clear teaching of Scripture will understand that there are keys that Christ holds to a real place called hell. And he has the keys to heaven as well. If you ever need a perfect example of a Catholic Christian who lost his salvation, Judas Iscariot would be it. He's Exhibit A. He was the only disciple to go to hell because he died in unrepentant mortal sin. And he betrayed Jesus. And there's no indication in Scripture or tradition that he ever repented. There are two things that we do know about Judas. Or should I say there's two things that we can learn about Judas. One is never to love money, because look what money made Judas do. He was the secretary of the apostles. He was like the treasurer. The second thing we can learn about Judas is it's the one thing to say that you're a Christian with your mouth. But it's another thing to truly be a Christian and bear fruit, a life of good works. Many will come before God at their judgment, at their particular judgment, and be denied heaven because they were fake Christians. Let's look at Judas's damnation foretold. Acts chapter 1, verse 16 to 25. The Bible says, "Brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David, concerning Judas, who was guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in the ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness. And falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their language Akaldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation become desolate, and let there be no one to live in it, and his office let another take." So there's the indication that he was damned, where it says, let his habitation, his house, become desolate, become empty. Now, when you look at the commentary on Acts chapter 1, verses 16 to 25, basically, St. Peter is referring to Psalm 108, verses 6 to 8. That's what St. Peter is quoting in Acts chapter 1, verses 16 to 25, as he's talking about Judas and his life and his treachery. He's quoting Psalm 108, verse 6 to 8. And essentially, Psalm 108, verses 6 to 8, it tells us that when Judas, because Judas was an apostle and a bishop, it tells us that he must be replaced. Hear what the psalm says. Set thou the sinner over him, and may the devil stand at his right hand. Ah, so the Old Testament tells us that the devil stood at Judas's right hand. It says, when he is judged, may he go out condemned, and may his prayer be turned to sin. May his days be few, and his bishopric let another take. So Psalm 108 verses 6 to 8 indicates that Judas was damned. That's what it says there, that the devil was at Judas's right hand, and when he was judged, that he went out to be condemned. Psalm 41 verse 9, it says, even my close friend whom I trusted, he who shares meals with me, has turned against me. That's a prophecy of Judas. So Psalm 41 verse 9 says that Judas turned against our Lord. Now, if you turn against Jesus and you do that and you die an unrepentant, unconfessed mortal sin, the catechism and the Bible say you go to hell. John chapter 6, verse 68 to 71 says, Simon Peter answered, Lord, who will we go to? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus replied to them, didn't I choose you, the 12, yet one of you is the devil. He was referring to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, one of the 12, because he was going to betray him. So Jesus calls Judas the devil. That's not a compliment, by the way. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 17 to 20, the Bible says, as Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he took the 12 apostles aside privately and told them that what was going to happen to him. Listen, we're going up to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be betrayed, there it is, to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die. So our Lord is predicting his death, and he said he's going to be betrayed. Well, who's the betrayer? Judas is. Judas was a thief. The Bible tells us in John chapter 12, verses 2 to 6, a dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance, but Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, that perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Not that Judas cared for the poor. He was a thief, and since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole money for himself. So this is the treasure of the apostles that was always stealing money. Judas also willingly betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ. Willingly. In Mark's account, chapter 14, verses 42 to 46, it says the following. It says, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here. That's our Lord speaking. And immediately, even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with the crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priest, the teachers of religious law, and the elders. The traitor, Judas, had given them a prearranged signal. You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss. Then you can take him away under guard. As soon as they arrived, Judas walked up to Jesus. Rabbi, he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. Here we see the betrayal of Judas. In John chapter 19, verse 11, it tells us, the Bible says, Jesus answered, and he's saying this to Pontius Pilate, by the way, Pontius Pilate's praetorium. It says, Jesus answered him, Pontius Pilate, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you, that's Judas, is guilty of greater sin. So our blessed Lord is saying, hey, Pontius Pilate, you're cooperating with evil and killing me. But you have this, you have this authority as the government of Rome from God. But there's somebody who's even more guilty than you are, Pontius Pilate. His name is Judas, because he's handing me over to you. And so in the Ignatius Study Bible, the commentary says, this is a reference to Judas Iscariot and the Jerusalem leaders. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying that Judas the betrayer, or Judas Iscariot as he's called, has a greater sin. And the Pharisees and Sadducees, they have greater sins than even Pontius Pilate. Judas killed himself. He hung himself. That's what the Bible tells us. If you kill yourself, suicide's a mortal sin. If you commit suicide with full knowledge, deliberate consent of the will, knowing that it's a grave offense, a serious offense, violation of the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. If you do that with full knowledge, deliberate consent of the will, you go to hell. Suicide leads to hell. Now, if you have autism, if you have what we used to call years ago mental retardation, mental illness, mental deficiency, a diminished mental capacity, if you're not all there, if you don't have a full custody of your intellect and you commit suicide, God may have mercy on you. My name is Jesse Romero. We're taking a look at, is Judas Iscariot in hell? I report, you decide. I know what the evidence tells me. He didn't make it.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us, by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. My name is Jesse Romero, and I'm taking a look at the question, is Judas Iscariot in hell? Remember, God doesn't send anybody to hell. People go to hell by dying in unrepentant, unconfessed mortal sin. And apparently, Judas, there's no evidence in the New Testament that he ever repented. And in fact, the Old Testament prophecies indicate that he never repented. Judas killed himself. He hung himself. Again, that's a mortal sin. If you kill yourself and you do so with full knowledge and deliberate consent to the will, it's a mortal sin. You go to hell. Now, if you're, again, we used to call mental retardation or mental illness, diminished capacity, autism. If you have mental illness and you don't have your full faculties intact and you kill yourself, it's not a mortal sin. It's a venial sin. Because you can't formulate the thought that it's a mortal sin. So the church says you have to have full knowledge and understand in your intellect that what you're doing is wrong. And you have to do this also without coercion or duress or any types of external influences. It has to be done freely and voluntarily. And that's apparently the way it was done with Judas. He killed himself. There's no indication that he had mental illness. In Matthew 27, verse 2 and 6, the Bible says, "And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate the governor. Then when Judas's betrayer saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' They said, 'What is that to us? See to it yourself.' And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said, 'It is not unlawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money.'" So we see Judas here. He's going through cognitive dissonance. He said, "Man, what did I do? I sold up Jesus for $30, my Lord and Savior." Or at least my Lord. I don't know if he would call him his Savior, because he didn't trust him in the end. But the fact is, Judas Iscariot died in the sin of despair. Despair, which is the opposite of faith. Judas was also demonically possessed. The Bible tells us in John chapter 13, verse 24 to 27, it says, "Simon Peter got his follower to look this way. He wanted to ask Jesus which one he was speaking of. While close beside Jesus, he asked, 'Lord, who is it?'" In other words, Peter's asking Jesus, "Who's the one that's going to betray you?" Jesus answered, "It is the one I give this piece of bread to after I have put it in the dish." Then he put the bread in the dish and gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. After Judas had eaten the piece of bread, look what the Bible says. Satan went into him. I'm going to repeat that again. The Bible says Satan went into him. Into who? Into Judas. Went into what? His body. That's what it says there. And so when the demon goes into your body, as Catholics, we call that possession. And in fact, that's the way St. Augustine, when he reads this verse, St. Augustine comments on this verse. He says, quote, he says, "Satan entered into Judas in order to possess more completely the one, Judas, who had already abandoned himself to Satan." So the Bible says that Satan went into Judas, and St. Augustine says that Judas was completely possessed. In John chapter 13, verses 8 to 11, the Bible tells us that Judas basically was in mortal sin, lived an unclean life. Remember, what does God desire for us? To live clean lives. What does the devil want for us? For us to live unclean lives. Okay? God wants us to live clean lives. The devil wants us to live unclean lives. John chapter 13, verses 8 to 11, the Bible says, "No," Peter protested, "you'll never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you are clean." For Jesus knew who would betray him. This is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." Remember, to get to heaven, you got to be clean. What are demons called in the Bible? They're called unclean spirits. Unclean spirits look for unclean people. Jesus just said that Judas Iscariot is unclean. If you're unclean, that's another way, Catholics, for saying you're in mortal sin. If you die in unrepentant mortal sin, you go to hell. It's clear Catholic teaching. Now, here's some of the clear indications that Judas went to hell. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 24 to 25, the Bible says, Judas says, or our Lord says, excuse me, our blessed Lord says, "For I must die just as was prophesied, but woe to the man by whom I'm betrayed." By the way, the word woe, it's a Hebrew word that means may a covenant curse be upon me. Did you catch that? May a covenant curse fall upon me. That's what woe means in Hebrew. The Bible continues, our Lord says, "Far better for that one man if he had never been born." Judas too had asked him, "Rabbi, am I the one?" And Jesus had told him, "Yes." So our Lord just says, "A curse be on that man who betrays me." Whoa, that's what woe means in Hebrew. May a covenant curse be upon him. If you're cursed by the covenant because you break God's covenant, you go to hell. If you're blessed by the covenant, you go to heaven. And our Lord says, far better for that one man if he'd never been born. I mean, what's the only what can be worse than never being born? There's only thing worse that can happen to any one of us than never having been born. That's to be born and live and end up in hell. Ending up in hell is the only thing worse than never being born. Never being born is awful. That's terrible. I can't imagine. I've had a good life, relatively speaking, because of my faith. It just gives me this unending hope and unenduring hope. So I can't imagine never being born. But the only thing worse, according to Jesus, our Lord, the only thing worse to never being born is being born and ending up in hell. And so that's what he's talking about. He's referring to Judas. And so that's a strong indication that Judas went to hell. In John chapter 17, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says the following quote, "I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world." This is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking. "I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was one with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me." Look what our Lord Jesus Christ says. He says, "None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that the scripture would be fulfilled." Ah, so our Lord is clear. He says, "No, none of you 12 apostles have been lost except one of you 12. One of you is doomed to be destroyed, to destruction. One of you." When you look at all the footnotes, the commentaries on, like, for example, the Ignatius Catholic Bible, it says this. This is a reference to Judas Iscariot, the son of perdition, whose betrayal was foretold in many passages in the Old Testament, like Psalm 41, verse 9, Psalm 69, verse 25. Now, here's what's interesting. Our blessed Lord, he calls Judas Iscariot, he calls him in John chapter 17, verse 12, the son of perdition. And he also calls in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, he also uses the word the son of perdition, but in that passage, he's referring to the Antichrist. Interesting. So the Bible calls Judas son of perdition, and the Bible calls the Antichrist son of perdition. Now that phrase, the Antichrist, it may simply mean a man doomed to destruction, and it could be probably reserved for many individuals. In fact, again, there are two people in the Bible to which the title son of perdition is applied. So in context, when you read John chapter 17, verse 12, the son of perdition there is a reference to Judas Iscariot. And when you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, when it talks about the son of perdition or the man of lawlessness in some interpretations, it's a reference to the Antichrist who will appear in the end times before Christ's return. I don't know about you, But I wouldn't want our Lord Jesus Christ to call me by the same name that he calls the Antichrist. Because the son of perdition, the word perdition in Spanish, you know what that means? Perder, loss. It means eternal damnation. That's what perdition means. It means utter destruction. And perdition can also be a synonym for hell. So when a person is called son of perdition, the connotation is that of a person in an unredeemable state, someone who's already damned while he's still alive. And Jesus mentions the son of perdition in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. Now again, while our Lord prayed to the Father for his disciples, Jesus mentions that he protected them and kept them safe, but that none of them were going to be lost except the son of perdition. That is, the one who's already in a damned state. The fact that the phrase is used to describe the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, it shows us that forgiveness was not planned for Judas. I mean, God could have saved Judas. He could have moved his heart to repentance, but he chose not to. He was indeed doomed to destruction. One other verse in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 16. Here's something interesting. When our Lord mentions the 12 disciples in Luke's account, look what it says here. Peter's always mentioned first. Judas, the betrayer, is always mentioned last. Every time the apostles are all mentioned, all 12 of them, Peter's always mentioned first. It shows he has primacy. And Judas is always mentioned last. It shows that he's the one of perdition, the one that was damned. Here's what the Bible says in Luke 6, 12 to 16. One day, soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all of his disciples and chose 12 of them to be apostles. Here are their names: Simon, who he named Peter, Andrew, Peter's brother, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, Judas Iscariot. So there's two Judases, okay? One is Judas, son of James, or we call him sometimes Jude Thaddeus, and the other one's called Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. That's what the Bible says, who later betrayed him. I don't know about you. The biblical data seems to point that Judas Iscariot is in hell. I don't wish that upon anybody. I'm just doing a Bible study right here, Catholic style. My name is Jesse Romero. Don't change that dial. If you like what you hear, like us and share this with other people. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Here's my question to you. Is prayer your steering wheel or is prayer your spare tire? Let me tell you something. Hang on to the steering wheel and keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. My name is Jesse Romero. Catholic Spiritual Warfare, we're looking at Judas Iscariot. What does Scripture and tradition say about Judas Iscariot? Was he saved or was he damned? The Bible is very clear that he was damned. Very clear. Now, of course there's no magisterial statement. The church doesn't make magisterial pronouncement that people are in hell. But we're just looking at the highest source that the church has, which is sacred Scripture. And if you like what you hear, then like us and hit the subscribe button and share this show with other people. And let's get this good Catholic information out there on Catholic spiritual warfare. So what does the tradition, with a capital T, say about Judas Iscariot? Did he go to hell? What does the tradition say? St. Catherine of Siena, who... God spoke to her. God the Father spoke to her. That's called a locution. She wrote a very famous work about her dialogues with God the Father. In fact, the book is called Dialogue. St. Catherine of Siena is just not a saint. She's a doctor of the church. There's only 38 doctors of the church. A doctor of the church is like a super saint, okay? It's like they're the SWAT team in heaven. There's 38 special saints that have a higher place, higher... They're basically the super saints. Everybody in heaven's a saint, but there's 38 super saints. St. Catherine's one of them. God the Father spoke to her, and she wrote the following in her book, The Dialogue. It says this. God the Father told St. Catherine, quote, "So the despair," there's a sin, "so the despair of Judas displeased me more and was a greater insult to my son than his betrayal had been. Therefore, such as these are reproved for this false judgment of considering their sin to be greater than my mercy. And for this, they are punished with the demons and tortured eternally with them." Close quote. So notice again, God the Father tells St. Catherine the sin of Judas. It was called the sin of despair. And he didn't repent of it. And that's God the Father says, that's an insult to me, because what that does is you're insulting my mercy that Christ won for you on the cross. And so God the Father tells St. Catherine, that people who die in despair, they're going to be punished by demons and tortured eternally with them in hell. This is God the Father speaking to a doctor of the church. So notice again, the sin of Judas betraying our blessed Lord is not the one for whom which he was damned. That's not why God damned him, or why he was damned. He was damned not for the betrayal of Jesus. God the Father says he was damned because of his despair. He despaired of God's mercy. His sin was despair. That's why he was damned. He could not believe that God can forgive him. Now, as I showed you from scriptures and the doctors of the church, as I'm going to show you, for the last 2,000 years, the evidence is that Judas was not saved. And now, I know there's some people that'll say, well, Jess, you know, here's the objection of some Catholics. They'll say that the church does not teach that Judas is damned as part of official teaching. That's what they'll say. But that's a pointless objection. Because I will maintain that they have made those statements. And I'll show you where. But let's remember that there's many things in the church that the church holds that are not part of declared dogmatic teaching. And something doesn't have to be officially declared to be true. It's just that whatever is declared definitively is true. Moreover, we should never look to the church to declare anything definitively that does not bear directly in our salvation. Because the declaring of somebody as being damned does not bear on your or my salvation. That's why the church doesn't mention anything about it. But here's piece of evidence number two. I'm going to give you seven pieces of evidence from sacred tradition. In the early 4th century, there was a saint in the East. He was called Saint Ephraim. And here's what he said. He said, quote, "Judas was the treasure of his poison." Now, what's the poison that he's referring to? The poison that Saint Ephraim is referring to is Satan. Satan's the poison. So he says, Judas was the treasure of his poison. In other words, he was the treasure of Satan. Saint Ephraim says, and although Satan's form is hidden, in Judas, he is totally visible. So here's what's very interesting. He's Saint Ephraim in the 4th century saying, though Satan is invisible, he's totally visible in Judas. What does that mean? It means that Judas is probably perfectly possessed. Okay? As Saint Augustine said. So Saint Augustine, back in the 4th century, and Saint Ephraim, another early 4th century saint of the East, both of them say that Judas was perfectly possessed. Again, how do you get possessed? By embracing sin. Embracing sin. Accepting sin. Living a life of mortal sin. So we got two early church fathers, Saint Ephraim and Saint Augustine, that say that Judas was possessed. Let me go through another piece of evidence. Okay, here's another piece of evidence. Saint John of Avila, he was a Spanish priest. And he was a mystic also. What's a mystic? A mystic is somebody who God reveals things to. I know there's a lot of people out there say, I'm a mystic. I say, be quiet. You're not a mystic. You're just a dreamer. Okay? There's a lot of Catholics running around the world saying, I'm a mystic. I'm a mystic. Look at me. First of all, somebody's a mystic, they wouldn't tell you. Because it's such a gift of God, they would keep it quiet for the rest of their life. That's the first thing that I would tell you. So when somebody starts telling you that they're a mystic, you can rest assured that they're not mystics. A mystic is somebody who God reveals things to. And who declares that somebody's a mystic? The bishop does. So if you run around saying, I'm a mystic here in Los Angeles, I'll say, be quiet, phony. You're a fake mystic. It's the bishop or a priest that tells the bishop, hey, this person here, their messages seem to come from God and they're very accurate. And so the church determines who's a mystic, not yourself or not your prayer group. So St. John of Avila was a Spanish priest and a mystic. He died in 1569. He was also a doctor of the church. Here's what he says about Judas Iscariot. He says, the devil humiliates and discourages the heart to the point of driving it to despair. The devil recalls past sins, aggravating them as much as possible so that the person terrified and falling dismayed under such a heavy burden is reduced to despair. So notice, the devil likes to, his one of his huge weapons is despair. He wants to destroy your faith because despair is the enemy of faith. Despair is the enemy of hope. The devil wants to destroy your virtues by despairing of your sins. So St. John of Avila writes, So the devil acted with Judas. When he was at the point of committing his sin, the devil removed its gravity of his crime, and having sold his master at so low a price and into such a death, thus the devil blinded his eyes with the greatness of his sin, and having caught him in the snare, led him to hell. Did you hear what I just said? Saint John of Avila, mystic, doctor of the church, who died in 1569, wrote that the devil blinded Judas with the greatness of his sin and led him to hell. So I'm giving you seven pieces of evidence from tradition that's very solid why we know Judas is in hell. Point number four. I'm going to go right to the book, The Rite of Exorcism. That's the book that priests uses. I just opened it up right now. This is the book that the priest uses for official solemn exorcisms. Part one tells a priest how to do an exorcism in the book. And it's called The Rite of Exorcism, which is inside a bigger book called The Roman Ritual, The Ritual Romanum. The Rite of Exorcism, part one, is the introduction. How to do an exorcism. Part two is the actual prayers of exorcism. Part three is the long form St. Michael the Archangel prayer written by Pope Leo. That's what a priest uses for a solemn exorcism. It's called The Rite of Exorcism, written in 1614. Part two. Here's what a priest says. I mean, it's long. It's long. I could go 20 minutes, but I'm just going to use one sentence. So the priest is holding the book in his hand, or somebody's holding it for him, and he's speaking to the demon inside the person, and here's some of the words that the priest says. I adjure you, unclean spirit, every specter from hell, every satanic power, in the name of Jesus Christ, yield to God. So the priest is talking to the demon. Yield to God, who condemned you in the person of Judas Iscariot, the traitor, for he now flails you with his divine scourges. So stop right there. So the official prayer of exorcism, the priest tells the demon, he's ordering the demon, yield to God who condemned you. He's talking to the demons inside the person's body. The priest saying, God's already condemned you. And he says, he condemned you in the person of Judas Iscariot, the traitor. So this is the actual prayer of a priest during the rite of exorcism. The priest is actually saying, hey, you better listen and give in to God, because he's already condemned you in the person of Judas Iscariot, the traitor. In other words, making a comparison in the rite of exorcism between Judas and demons, which means they're both damned. My name is Jesse Romero. We're talking about, is Judas Iscariot in hell? And I think I'm batting 100% if you're listening to the evidence that I'm giving. If you like what you hear, like us and share this with other people. And let's grow this program. We'll be right back.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, remember that every single one of us, when we die, we're going to experience climate change either in the light of heaven or the fires of hell. Let's experience climate change in the light of heaven. What do you think? Let's become holy or die trying. I'm talking about, is Judas Iscariot in hell? What does tradition say? I think I already made the case through scripture, and I'm going out through the evidence from tradition. Here's point number five. Some people say, oh, the church has never said Judas is in hell. Well, here's something interesting. Let's remember that there was previous catechisms that the Catholic Church has put out. There's an older catechism. It's called the Catechism of the Council of Trent. The Catechism from the Council of Trent. In there, it mentions Judas Iscariot twice. This is a catechism used like 400 to 500 years ago by the Catholics in the Middle Ages, when there was not as much political correctness. And this phrase probably didn't make it into the new catechism, because I'm guessing that in the modern age, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to offend. Here is what the Catechism of the Council of Trent says almost 500 years ago. It says this, quote, "Such certainly was the condition of Judas, who repenting hanged himself, and thus lost soul and body." Okay? I'll read it again. "Such certainly was the condition of Judas," it says, "who repenting hanged himself and thus lost soul and body." Here's a second quote from the Council of Trent on Judas. Quote, "And of bad and misleading priests and bishops," it says, "but also end in this, that they derived no other fruit from their priesthood than was derived by Judas from the apostleship, which only brought Judas everlasting destruction." So the catechism from the Council of Trent says that Judas lost his soul and body. The catechism from the Council of Trent says that Judas brought himself everlasting destruction. That's from the Council of Trent. Now, let's look at piece of evidence number six. Piece of evidence number six. And again, if you like what you hear, then like us. Hit the subscribe button and share this with others. There's, I'm sure, a lot of Catholics that would like to know what the church teaches on Catholic spiritual warfare. Okay. Let's remember that the Catholic Mass is called the liturgy. That's what it's officially called, the sacred liturgy. And let's remember that right now we have two forms of praying the sacred liturgy or the Holy Mass. We have what's called the ordinary form. That's the modern Mass. That's the called the Novus Ordo Mass. That's the new Mass that came from Vatican II. And then we have the extraordinary form of the Mass, and that's the Latin Mass. That's the Mass that was prayed in that manner and celebrated in that manner from about 1970 all the way back to the second century. So that's the ancient Mass. So in the sacred liturgy for Holy Thursday, for the Latin Mass, there's a prayer that the priest prays during Mass. It goes like this. This is an actual prayer in the Mass. It says this, quote, the priest says, quote, "O God, from whom Judas received the punishment of his guilt, and the thief received the reward of his confession. Grant us the effect of your clemency. That means mercy. Now stop there. That to me doesn't sound like we all have a reasonable hope that all men are going to be saved. To me, it sounds like a good number of people will end up damned for spreading error and false teachings and confusion and for dying in despair in mortal sin. So notice the old mass, and by the way, this was taken away. It says no longer prayed in the new mass because, again, a lot of the beautiful non-politically correct prayers from the old mass were taken away and redacted, and they're not found in the new mass any longer. And so in the old mass, the prayer of the priest, he's saying that Judas receives his punishment, and St. Dismas, the thief at the right of the cross that received God's forgiveness, that he received his reward, heaven. So it's juxtaposing, it's comparing St. Dismas, who went to heaven, with Judas, who went where? Well, the opposite of heaven is hell. It says Judas was punished for his guilt, and the thief was rewarded. People that are rewarded go to heaven. People that are punished for their guilt go to hell. It's very clear. Now, here's the last piece of evidence, number seven. The last piece of evidence, number seven, is there's a very famous exorcism case. In fact, they made a movie out of it. It's called The Exorcism of Emily Rose. Her name was not Emily Rose. Her real name was Annalise Michelle. According to priests who knew about her or knew her and the family, they said that she was a very holy, young, pious woman. Holy and pious. And so she was demonically possessed. Those priests that have written books and knew her, they said that essentially Our Lady had asked her if she would concede to suffering for the sins of the German priest, who many of them are wicked, the German priests, bishops and priests, wicked. And so Our Lady asked her if she would consent to suffer for their sins. That's called making reparation or making atonement. And she conceded. She conceded to be a victim soul for the German priest and bishops, who, by the way, today are probably the biggest problem in the Catholic Church still. Most of the problems of liberalism and progressive thought and dissent come from Germany, the German prelates and the Catholic Church. And so she consented to be possessed. Now, her exorcisms were actually, they've actually been recorded. They're on YouTube. You can hear them. And they've been transcribed from German to English. So you could actually read the transcribed notes of the exorcism of Annalise Michelle in Bavaria, Germany. They're on the internet. You can get them for free if you want to read them. I have. There's one instance where the priest is ordering the demon to speak, and the demon says the following. The demon calls Judas a bad word, the B word, B-A-S-T-A-R-D. The demon says, quote, the B, A-S-T-A-R-D, Judas, I picked him up myself. So that's a sentence that one of the demons said during the exorcism of Annalise Michelle. And this was transcribed. This was recorded. It's in a recording. It's on the internet. It's on YouTube. And also the notes are there as well if you want to read them. So this demon, or there were seven demons in her. One of the demons spoke out and said that Judas, I picked him up myself. What does a demon mean by I picked him up? He picked him up for dinner? Or he picked him up to go to a Bible study? What? No. The demon picked him up himself to take him to hell. That's the only thing it can mean. So, I've given you sacred scripture and the tradition of the church. You know, the sin of pride, that's the sin of Satan. Let's make sure we don't fall into it. The sin of pride is exemplified by Satan. Satan would rather reign in hell than serve God in heaven. And let me give you a little story here. The devil was being advised by his demons one day on how to steal souls to hell. And the demons told the devil, "Let's tell the human beings that there's no God." The devil said, "Those human beings, they're never going to believe us because the knowledge of God is written in every human heart." So the demon said, "Let's tell them there's no heaven or hell." The devil said, "They're never going to believe that because they all know in their hearts that there's a place outside of earth called heaven and hell." So the demon said, "I know what to tell them. Let's convince them that there is no hurry to convert." "Yeah, let's tell them there's no hurry to convert. Let's tell them, hey, you have a long life to live. So just eat, drink, and be merry and indulge in the world. You don't have to convert. Wait till tomorrow." And guess what? And for 2,000 years, the devil has been lying to people by this great strategy from hell, telling people there is no hurry to turn your life to Jesus. There's no hurry. Wait till tomorrow. Wait till you're old. And guess what? People have been listening to that for 2,000 years. My name is Jesse Romero. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you like what you hear, then like us and hit the subscribe button and share this show with others. I just gave you this show. You definitely want to share it with other people because some people say nobody's in hell. There's nobody in hell. I just showed you from the Bible that Judas was damned in hell. And I gave you seven pieces of evidence, powerful pieces of evidence from saints and tradition, the Council of Trent, exorcisms, the Latin Mass prayers. I mean, the evidence is pretty clear. Two doctors of the church, one church father. The evidence is pretty clear. What gets you to hell? Despair. Let me give you a little bit of good news before we wrap it up. By the way, but up next, we're going to have Gary Machuda on with Hands-On Apologetics. Gary's coming to us from the Midwest Command Center, and he's one of the greatest apologists, Catholic defenders of the faith in the world today. So you want to stay tuned for Jerry. You don't want to miss it. But here's the good news. The good news is that, yeah, Satan right now is unleashed upon the world, and the Bible calls him the prince of this world, the god of this world, lowercase g, and the Bible says that the whole world is under his power. Satan's kingdom has an expiration date. When Christ comes back, he's done. He's going to get thrown to hell and punished and tortured and sealed in hell in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Guess what the good news is? The good news is that Jesus Christ's kingdom will last forever. No expiration date. Luke chapter 1, verse 31 to 33. Jesus' kingdom, of which we're part of as Catholics, guess what? No expiration date. It's going to last forever. Satan's kingdom, expiration date. His days are numbered. God bless you. Keep the faith. We'll see you tomorrow. Same Christ time, same Christ channel.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.